wind is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. May God bless the reading of his word as we talk about the basics of baptism. Now, when we talk about baptism, people automatically think about what we're going to do this morning, and that is water baptism. But what you need to see here is that the Bible talks about, and John talks about, three different types of baptisms. First, he's talking about these folks that he's baptizing in a physical water baptism that we're going to do this morning. But then he says, somebody's coming after me who's not going to baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So he talks about three different baptisms here. He talks about a physical baptism in water. Then he talks about a spiritual baptism that has happened, that is produced by the power of the Spirit of God. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Bible says that we all have been baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, my friend, whenever you got saved, God put you in the body of Christ, amen. And God put you in a specific local body, amen. And so it talks about a spiritual baptism. Then he talks about a baptism of fire that speaks, dear friend, of judgment and suffering. You'll find in Matthew chapter 20 later on that John came unto Jesus and said, Lord, when thou comest at thy kingdom, can we sit on your right hand and on your left? And here's what he said. Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism whereof I am going to be baptized? Now wait, he already been baptized physically. The Holy Spirit had descended upon him. We see that spiritual baptism, so to speak. He's talking about a baptism of suffering. He's saying, are you willing to pay the price to sit in that place that you're talking about? And then he says this, you will be baptized with the same baptism I'm going to be baptized with. You're going to suffer and you're going to be judged and you're going to pay a price for this profession that you hold. And they did. But he said, now to sit on my right hand and my left ain't mine to give. It belongs to my Father. So when you see the word baptism or baptized in the Bible, don't automatically think about a physical baptism, because there is a difference, amen. But now let's just talk a minute about what I call the record of baptism, because the only thing I know about is what we got here. You can read all kind of doctrines in different statements of faith in different churches and probably different religions. Baptism, I ain't concerned about that. All I'm concerned about what the Bible's got to say. And so let's think about this baptism or the history of baptism. What do you know about it? Well, think about this. Do you ever remember reading in the Old Testament where anybody was ever baptized? Huh. So this is something new and unique that has come to pass and has begun to happen that did not happen before. Now, remember that the Jew was very much aware of washing with water. Before Aaron, before any of those priests could enter into the temple, they had to bathe. They had to be washed from head to toe outside of the tabernacle proper. They had to be clean before they entered into that place. Then before they entered into the holy place, they had to wash in that brass laver there that was at the door. So they were aware of water's relationship to cleanliness. We bathe every day. Amen. Most of us do. Amen. Isn't that right? So they were aware of this association, but we don't see any commandment. We don't see any practice, if you will, of baptism in the Old Testament. So that tells us, dear friend, that when John came upon the scene, something God was going to do something new, and he was going to use it as an illustration and in demonstration that the kingdom of God was about to come and that people's hearts needed to be ready for that moment in time. Matter of fact, you go back to John chapter 1 and the Bible say this about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now that tells me that the history of baptism began with him because he's called John the Baptist, which literally translated would mean John the Baptizer, and there weren't nobody else around doing it at this time. And he specifically describes the nature and the character and the meaning of his baptisms. He says, I baptize with you with water under repentance. We'll read about that also in Acts chapter 1. This was a baptism that demonstrated the repentance of an individual who recognized that the message that John was preaching was true and that he thus had to prepare for that great event that was about to happen on the face of this earth. And the public way that an individual made that faith known was by going to John at the Jordan River and being baptized there. So this is a whole new event that's coming upon the face of the earth. It began with him. Matter of fact, you read Luke 16:16 later, and it will tell you there, for the law and the prophets were until John. And since then, he says, the kingdom of God is preached, and men presseth their way into it. In other words, they gathered to a crowd into it. Amen. And John had a great following, didn't he? Friend, he was a success in what he was doing in preaching repentance and baptizing people. So John is that pivotal turning point between Old Testament law and prophets and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah prophesied, and it was quoted here, that one day God would send forth a man crying in the wilderness, amen, to prepare for the kingdom of God, or the coming, if you will, of the King. Amen. And so it began with John the Baptist. That's the record that we have in the Bible. Amen. Now, we find also in the Bible that all of Jesus' disciples were baptized by John. It wasn't Jesus who baptized them. Amen. They were baptized by John. If you go to Acts chapter 1 and read it later, Peter will talk about that. And they were talking about replacing Judas. That this individual had to be with us, not presence of Jesus, but he said from the baptism of John. That was the qualification for somebody to replace Judas there. And so what they're saying is that they were baptized by John, and they had already come to that position and place and understanding of his message before Jesus ever came, because right after this, my friend, John says, behold the Lamb of God. Listen, that was the message. There he is. And so they placed their faith in that message. But not only that, we see here, not only did he baptize Jesus' disciples, but he just baptized Jesus also. Now the Bible tells us here that Jesus came from Galilee, which was his home, down to Jordan in Judea to be baptized by John. Now friend, that's a walk of about 60 miles. I'd be ready to lay down in some water with you and to be baptized. Amen. So you see the importance that it held, not only for those disciples of John that the Bible talks about, but also for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see also right here that Jesus put his stamp of approval upon the baptism of John by going unto him. And we see something very interesting here. When he came to John, John said, you know, I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me. That tells you that John knew something about Jesus before he ever came to that river. Of course, you do know they were related in a way. He knew enough about the life of Christ to know that he was more righteous than he was in his practical living. But he did not know that he was the Son of God. That happened whenever that dove descended down out of heaven, the Holy Spirit upon him. God already told him. Now, when you see that, that's him. He said this before that ever happened. He said, look, I need to be being baptized of you. Why? Because it was a baptism for repentance of sin. And it was an open statement of that, that I am preparing for the coming of my God and I am cleansing my ways by going into this water. The Old Testament connotation, amen. The disciples were all baptized by John. Jesus was baptized by John. The early church baptized. Amen. If you want to just walk with me through the book of Acts, turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, and we'll just do that right quickly. I don't want to keep you long. In the book of Acts chapter 2, wherein we see the birth, if you will, of the quote-unquote New Testament church, the body of Christ being formed. In the book of Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41, the Bible says of all those thousands that believed on that day, then they that gladly received his word, in verse 41, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And now you'll find out later that those 3,000 souls were simply the men. There were also women and children involved in that. And so at the very conception of the New Testament church, we find the disciples baptizing all those who were saved. In the book of Acts, chapter number 8, Philip goes down to preach in Samaria, and a revival breaks out, and a lot of folks get saved. And verse number 12 of chapter 8 says, but when they believed Philip the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And later in that chapter, in chapter number 8, we find an Ethiopian eunuch that God sends Philip to preach to. And in verse 35 of chapter number 8, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture of Isaiah 53 and preached unto him Jesus. And as they were on their way, they came into certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. Now notice the order here. Before you ever get baptized, friend, you got to believe. Baptism does not produce belief. Baptism is the result of believing. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him. Amen. Acts chapter number 9, we find that the apostle Paul was baptized. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, because you know he went blind after seeing the Lord Jesus on the road in the brightness of his appearance. And he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And in Acts chapter number 10, Peter went to the house of the Gentile Cornelius. And there he preached unto him the gospel, the opening of the door of the gospel unto the Gentiles. And verse number 47 of Acts chapter 10, the Bible says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And so, even the Gentile converts were baptized. Then in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, we run across a woman, a young girl named Lydia of Thyatira, who was in Philippi, and she got saved. Verse 14 says of Acts 16, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, and when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and she constrained us. So Lydia, the Gentile of Thyatira, associated with idolatry, was saved, and she was baptized. Later in that very same chapter, we find the famous Philippian jailer. In Acts 16 and verse 33, the Bible says, and he took the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, those of Paul and Silas, and was baptized, he and all his strength. Amen. Then in Acts chapter number 18, we find the apostle Paul preaching in the city of Corinth as he established the church there in the synagogue. And verse number 8 says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And we could just go on and on. You must recall that the book of Acts is the history of the early church. It's very plain to see that the early church practiced baptism after salvation. And so, thus, it is perfectly clear why we should do what we are doing today, because the pattern has been set for us for the sacrament, as we call it, of baptism. Now let's deal quickly, move from the record of baptism to the recipients of baptism. Who should be saved? I mean, who should be baptized? Well, first of all, a Christian should be baptized. Somebody, as we've already demonstrated in Scripture, who has come to a place of faith, to realize themselves as sinners in need of a Savior and placing their faith in a specific Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins that we might be saved. And us having believed that, as the Philippian eunuch did when he believed with all his heart, he then went and was baptized. We must understand that, friend, there are many who say that baptism saves. There are certain denominations in churches that baptize people as babies. But, friend, baptism cannot save. It does not have the ability to save. It does not have the ability to wash away sins. When Miss Regina comes out of that water, and when I came out of that water, my friend, it didn't wash away my sins. But it did wash away my guilty conscience. Now, Peter talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. You can read it later because of time constraints. Because, friend, it removes the guilty conscience for us, because that which we have believed in our heart, we have manifested and made known unto everybody. You ever heard the expression, confession is good for the soul? Now, that may be a biblical truth, but it's not quoted that way. You know, it does good sometimes just to tell the truth and get things off your chest. That's why today we got a whole lot of psychologists and psychiatrists. People ain't willing to do that where they ought to do it. They go tell it somebody else. Amen. 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 And so, listen. One who has been saved should be baptized, not one that is looking to be saved. We baptize Miss Regina today because she says she's saved, not because she says she wants to be saved. She came here this morning and said, I want to be saved. I wouldn't take her to the water before I took her to the altar. And there we would call upon the Lord and we would pray a prayer of faith of salvation. Amen. Simple, no specific words. Then we'd go to the pool of water like the Ethiopian eunuch did. You see, Philip preached to him from Isaiah 53. And there, dear friend, he preached about the suffering servant of God by whose stripes we are healed. Amen. How that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Amen. How we all like sheep have gone astray. And boy, he believed that message. Amen. And he preached to him Jesus. He said, you know who Isaiah is talking about? He's talking about Jesus that died just here recently, less than 2 months ago. And he said, glory to God. He got saved. He said, there's some water over here. Why don't we stop? Can I be baptized? He said, if you believe, you can be baptized. Friend, listen. You get baptized because you're saved. Getting baptized without being saved will not do anything for you except get you for a period of time. You'll be a child of the devil headed for hell without salvation if you don't go through the blood of Jesus before you go through the waters of baptism. Amen. So a Christian needs to be a recipient of baptism. Then a church needs to be of baptism. For you see, dear friend, Matthew 28 in the latter part of Mark and Luke, you find that Jesus gave the command of baptism to the church. In other words, friend, a church ought to practice what we're going to do today, and that is baptism, because the command was given to the church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples in another place, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Friend, that was given to the church. And so our message is this: faith in Christ and then baptism. Amen. Baptism. Friend, that's a part of our responsibility, and that's what we do. Doesn't mean because we have the name Baptist that it's important to us. Every church it ought to be important to, because, dear friend, it is given in the record of the Holy Word of God, the way that we should do it and the why that we should do it. If you're saved this morning but you've never been baptized, listen, you ought to be baptized. You ought to be baptized. Why? Well, that's next point. The reason for baptism. Some people believe because baptism doesn't save, it is therefore not important. Well, it is. It is important. I've known a lot of people that just didn't want to be baptized. They were self-conscious about this or that or the other, and they just didn't want to be baptized. Well, friend, that's the problem. Whatever it is you're self-conscious about, you need to put behind you, because there's something a whole lot more important than that. Amen? And we need to humble ourselves and submit ourselves. And so, dear friend, the first reason for baptism is that it is a public declaration of our faith in Christ. Now, dear friend, the Bible says that those who believed the message were baptized. What baptism did, I'll give you three reasons for baptism, but number one is that public declaration, that public demonstration, that public identification, if you will, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice What we read in Matthew 3 about Jesus when he came to be baptized. John said, listen, we need to reverse roles here for a minute. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. He didn't need water to produce righteousness in him. John already acknowledged that, didn't he? What Jesus did when he came for baptism, he identified with those people he was with. Now I want to ask you, who did Jesus come to die for? He came to die for sinners like me. My friend, Jesus identified with us in his life as a human man. Don't ask me to explain all of the things attached to it. I won't be able to. He'll have to do that for you when we get there. But that's what the Bible teaches nonetheless. He identified with us. Why? And Philippians 2 and 3 deals with this. Because, friend, he'd come to die for us in our place. And so for that to be so, he had to identify with us. A lamb couldn't die for a man, as in the Old Testament picture. A goat or a bull could not die for a man. The only thing that could die with any efficacy for a guilty man had to be an innocent man to take his place. Amen. And so whenever we enter the waters of baptism, you know what we do? We publicly declare before the world, I am identifying with my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me and was buried and rose again, and I'm adjoining him. Now, friend, I want to tell you something. We have a whole lot of closet Christians today. At least that's what they say. And I hope that it is. I want to tell you what Jesus said. If you deny me before men, then my Father which is in heaven will deny you. Jesus said that, and then Paul also expanded upon that, writing to the young preacher Timothy. Amen. He said, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Listen, I want to tell you something. If you are ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, then why should he not also be ashamed of you? Because you were afraid to come forth and publicly declare that I've been saved by the blood of Christ. I have been born again by his grace. And I'm going to demonstrate that by identifying with him. Now, I can't give you a cross. It wouldn't do no good if I could. I can't produce any religious relic that you can identify with. But every one of us can identify with him through baptism. That's why he gave it to us. Amen. There came a time when somebody came to Jesus, came to John and said, listen, John, I don't know whether you know it or not, but Jesus and his disciples over there baptizing a whole lot more people than you are. John said, that's good. They just trying to stir some up. He said, that's good. He said, because you understand, he must increase and I must decrease. Because that transition from the Old Testament through John and then to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and right there. And he realized that I've got a purpose to serve and I'm serving it. And I'll soon be out of the way. Don't look at me, but you look to him. Amen. When we baptize somebody, it's their public declaration. Now, here's something I think we need to see too with reference to this public declaration. There are literally hundreds of Old Testament prophecies that tell of the coming of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, or the Messiah. They tell where he would be born, and they really tell when he would be born in the book of Daniel. Did. The Jews knew a whole lot about it from their Old Testament scriptures. So when John came out baptizing, they went out there. You know why? They thought he was the Christ. They asked him. Sure, they did. Not here, but you'll find it somewhere else. Amen? They knew that the promise that God had made was about to come to pass. Huh? But nobody knew who he was. Not even John. But when Jesus came out to John and was baptized, and that heaven opened up and the Holy Spirit in the form of that dove descended where John could see it, he thus changed his message then to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the Bible will tell you, if you'll read the record, immediately after that, read chapter 4 of Matthew, Luke chapter 4, immediately he was led straightway into the wilderness to confront who? The devil. Now, friend, you see, despite all of the prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of this Savior, the Messiah, nobody knew who he was, nor the devil. when the wise men come from the east, Herod, being used of Satan, said, when you find him, come tell me where he's at that I can go worship him too. Devil. Amen. You know what happened? He sent and had every child 2 years and under killed. Bethlehem. Amen. That also result of a prophecy of the Old Testament. You see, when Jesus was baptized, the devil knew who he was. He said, there he is. He heard the voice just like everybody else. And so he waited till Jesus got off out in that wilderness, and 40 days he got good and weak physically. Then he came to him. Nobody else you see this in the Bible but him, if thou be the Son of God. Now the very basis of that question, he didn't have no doubt about Jesus being the Son of God. The baptism declared it. And the voice from heaven and the Holy Spirit. He didn't have any doubts about who he was. He tried to create doubt in the mind of Jesus of Nazareth about the way of going about to declare himself the Son of God. And so he said, if thou be the Son of God, then do this. If thou be the Son of God, do that. You see, he'd baptized, friend. I want to tell you, not only the world knows the declaration that you are making and the identification that you're making, but the devil knows it also. And in many other countries of this world, the moment you get baptized, your name will go on a hit list, dear friend. And you ought to know it more than ever today after what has happened in this world than ever before. It's all right. Believe in Jesus in your heart, but don't identify with him. It might get you killed. I'm glad we can do this morning. Ain't got to worry about a bullet waiting on us outside the door. Son, we don't have enough of them as it is. We wouldn't have none in, would we? Yeah, we would. Yeah, we would. Amen. And so one reason for baptism is it is a public declaration. It is a personal identification with the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we find that in the book of Romans chapter 6, and I'll read it quickly for you. Most of you know what it says. Listen, Romans chapter number 6 and beginning in verse number 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Here's what Paul's dealing with there. He's dealing with the issue of sin working in somebody's life. And he's using what happened at baptism to tell them how to get the victory over sin. Amen. He's dealing with grace and sin. He says, go back and look at what you did when you got baptized, that you made a personal identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible pictures us as being in Christ, that when he died in our place, and thus we were identified and in him. So when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. And when he rose, we rose again also in newness of life. Now Paul said this in the book of Galatians. Chapter 6. Chapter 2, verse 20. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see what he's saying? He's saying, listen. I'm alive, but I'm dead. Why? Because I died in Christ. And baptism is a picture of that, dear friend. Jesus died on a cross. As far as the world was concerned, he was a criminal. He was put into a tomb. It wasn't his. The only difference is he didn't stay in there. And when he came out of that tomb, dear friend, he come out different. And that's what the Bible says about you and I. Huh? When he came out of that tomb, in Luke chapter 24, he's walking on the road to Emmaus with two people there, one named Cleopas. And they're just talking about what happened to Jesus. And he said, tell me about it. And they said, where you been? You ain't been around here? Well, here he is. Friend, he rose in newness when he came out of that tomb. It wasn't the same Jesus went in there. Friend, the body he came out with, he's going to have forever, and you and I are going to have forever, because we're going to be like him. It's new, and Paul says the way the victory over sin is to realize it, friend, you're dead. When you went in the baptismal pool and went under that water, you're saying, I'm dying to who I was. I'm dying to what I was. And when I come out of that water, I ain't going to be the same. By the grace of God, I'm going to be new like he was. I'm going to live for Him. Amen. It's a personal identification, a public declaration. But then it also displays what I call a practical transformation. When I say, a change has taken place in my heart. Well, I'll never forget April 14, around midnight, 1972. I bowed my proud knee, asked God to forgive me, to save me. God, I went fishing next Sunday, weren't going to church. I know I've told you before, I liked heaven. Well, the next Sunday, though, I went to church. God has a way of doing things. I didn't want to go. I went. God's will always outweighs ours if we'll just be willing. Here I am. Boy, I mean, as soon as the fella got through preaching, I knew I was right where I need to be. I hit that aisle, boy, blowing snot and tears and everything else. Hit that altar. I knew I was saved, and I don't even know why I went. The Holy Spirit. I just hit it. I don't know. Preacher comes to me and says, have you ever been saved? That's the right question. I said, yeah, I was. 2 weeks ago in my bedroom, I got saved. I don't know how God does these things. Well, his next question was, well, do you want to be baptized? I said, do I need to? He said, yeah, and then he explained a little bit about to me, real shallow, about what business. I said, if I need to, I'm going to. He said, okay, well, we'll baptize you next week. I said, all right, I'll be here. Huh? You see, dear friend, we are telling the world in baptism, and I wish this place was full, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And I ain't ashamed of it. And I'm not going in these waters for show, nor because they saved me. But I'm going into these waters because I want you to know a change has come about in my life. And the old Donnie Murphy that you once knew, hopefully is not going to be around anymore, but a new, brand new, better one is going to be around. By the grace of God, let it be so. Amen. Boy, till you tell folks around you that you're different than what you used to be, friend, you'll always have trouble as a Christian. Boy, I remember, see, when I first went to the firehouse, son, I was in on everything them firemen was involved in. I was right there with them, son, the drinking, the cussing, everything that goes with being an idiot. When I got saved, I was just stupid enough to go back to work the next shift and tell folks, well, I got saved. Of course, they all snickered under the breath. And the religious people jumped on me to try to conform me to their ways. Amen? But friend, I want you to know it wasn't but a year or so after that that one of them old boys I used to run with come to me per private. And that's the way it's going to happen. And he said, Don, I just want to ask you something. I don't want to offend you. I said, you're not going to offend me. What you want? He said, you used to go with us and you used to do this and that. And you quit all that. And I just want to know why. He said, you've become religious or something. I told him about getting saved. Tried my best to lead him to the Lord. He went to church. I don't know whether the boy got saved or not. He's dead now. See, folks, baptism says, I'm a different person. I don't want to talk the way I used to talk. I don't want to walk the way that I used to walk. I don't want to go where I used to go. I want to be like Jesus because I'm identified with Him. Praise God. That's a good reason to get baptized. Amen. And it is a biblical reason. Now let's talk about the result of baptism quickly. First of all, the result of baptism is we comply. We are placed in compliance with the Word of God. Obedience. Because the Bible commands the church to baptize, and it commands those who have been saved to be baptized. All through the book of Acts, that's what we see. So whenever we get baptized this morning, we're obeying the Lord and what He said for us to do. He left two things for us to do. One was baptize disciples. The other one was the table of the Lord, that we might remember His death until He comes again. That's it. That's it. Neither one of them have the power to save, but they both have powerful messages and a powerful influence on our life whenever they're done right. Amen? Amen. So, one result is it places us in compliance with God's program, the Word of God, and obedience. But then not only that, it places us in communion with God's people. Amen. Amen. You see, the Bible says that we are baptized together into one body. That's the spiritual aspect that is demonstrated by our identification together in the physical aspect. Amen? And so by doing that, we are identifying, we are obeying the command of the Lord, but we are identifying with the people that are baptizing us. And who is that? It's a local church. Now let me say this. I've got nothing for this bunch of jacklegs that are running around the world. They're not identified with any church, and they claim to be doing the will of God and doing all this without any basis. I believe in a local church. Now, I don't believe in every local church. I mean, I'm not going that far. But I believe that the authority to be baptized was given unto, and that scripturally I can prove that, the local body of believers. I know that there is this so-called mystical, invisible body of Christ that all believers are part of. But friend, I want to remind you that the body of Christ, the church that is mentioned throughout the New Testament, over 90% of the time is referring to a local body, not the great mystical body. I can't identify much with them people in Pakistan because I don't meet with them every Sunday, but I do meet with this crowd every Sunday. And whenever we're baptized, we're identifying with a local body. Sister Regina is a member of this local church. Amen. 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 Now, because of her religious past, she's got it backwards. But she's getting that straightened out today. Amen. She got baptized as a young child, I believe, Miss Regina, you told me, before she ever got saved. Later, she got saved. So guess what? Now it's time to be baptized. I didn't have to pressure her for that. I'm not in the pressuring business. She came to me and said, I won't be baptized. Miss Green would come one time, not long ago, said, I won't be baptized. Ain't it wonderful what God can do? And so as we come this morning, dear friend, I want you to remember that what we're going to do is not for the salvation of Miss Regina. It's because she's already been saved. And I, by the authority of God's word and God's program, will put her through the waters of baptism, amen, and that identification, and not only with Christ, but with his body, the church. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But don't ever underestimate the powers of the water of baptism in your personal experience and confidence before God. Because, Miss Regina, this day, you are not denying him, but you are publicly confessing and professing him as your Lord and your Savior. Now, you come, and whoever you want to come with you and go to the room, I'll go over here and dress. Brother Hunter, y'all come sing a song while we get dressed, and we're going to do just that. And we're going to come out again, and then we're going to hug her neck, and we're going to pray. Amen.